You're listening to the Riverfront Church broadcast, a place to explore faith, history, ideas, and more.
Welcome to the Riverfront Church podcast. Today is a very special episode because we are going to learn more about an event you might have seen in our emails. If you don't get our emails, make sure and sign up because it has all sorts of important information in it. I'm not going to clap right in front of the mic. My name is Pastor Emma, and you've heard my voice before, but we also have a voice you haven't heard in a while. So I'd love if you'd say who you are and what you're with and all the things.
I'm Noelle Toscano, and we're in Wilmington. We're actually here at my church right now, which is Christ the Cornerstone. We're at the Ellesmere campus, and I'm the co-director of Azer Rising.
So tell us, if we're not familiar with it, what is Azer Rising?
Azer Rising is an online ministry that seeks to help unite men and women together, specifically when it comes to ministry opportunities. And in order to do that, you have to elevate women. That's why the Azer, which is the woman, the word for woman, that God, when he created Eve, that was the actual Hebrew word, was Azer. And so women and men coming together in our society and in church life has been something that it's been happening very slowly over time, but we are in an age where it seems to be just kind of being fast-tracked, and many people are having a better understanding of what we've lost by not allowing women to participate and have the same opportunities, and what is being gained now that we are empowering women and allowing them to develop their gifts and skills in ways that are bringing the gospel into the world.
So I think it's always really interesting when we talk about these struggles and things. So y'all can't see me right now, but I'm actually sitting here in my collar because I've got some pastoring to do a little later today that needed me looking official. But it's such an important conversation to have and to keep engaging and keep pushing on. And y'all do that a lot on your Facebook page, sometimes that in ways that are very challenging and sometimes in ways that encourage a lot of good conversations. So talk a little bit about how y'all do that and what you have coming up that's exciting.
Well, our writing team is made up of women.
Okay.
Now, we're not opposed to having men on our writing team, but this is just, people have come and gone, and that has been, you know, just how life works. And currently, our team is made up of women with different perspectives and different ideas about how exactly we do empower women. We've looked at our own pasts and our own perspectives and thought, okay, I've got something to say about this. And Azer Rising is a platform that allows us to do that. So each of us gets one day a week, and we get to talk about the thing that we care about.
Okay.
We can write, we can retweet, we can, you know, find an article that's interesting to us, and we can put it out there. And then that particular writer will spend all day staying on top of it and actually responding in the comments section. So we're having dialogue. We're making people think. And because we each have that solidified day, you can kind of, if you wanted to, you could look at our Facebook page specifically, and you could look at each day and go, okay, this is a different writer, and this is what she's thinking about today. And if you relate to that, then hang on, you know, come back the next week and spend time with her again. If, like, it's not really in your interest level, which is fine, stay tuned, find somebody that you connect with. So there's something for everybody here. And because of that, because of just how different we are and how many different perspectives we bring to this concept of women being able to rise and not rise over anything, not rise in order to dominate, but rise in order to walk into their calling in a way in which they know that God is leading them somewhere and they're finally able to have eyes to see it and ways to respond to it. So we are taking a leap of faith and taking this formula of different perspectives all throughout the week and have turned it into a conference.
Okay.
So the conference is coming up. It's been a year in the making, and all of us are participating and involved in our own way. And it is not your typical conference. It is very, very different. The dates are April 24th, which is a Friday. It starts at 7 p.m. Is our first session. Main session, and then it ends on Sunday afternoon after lunch. And each of us are taking a turn to speak.
Okay.
There's different breakout sessions, so there's small group possibilities for interaction. And we got the holy grail of keynote speakers. And it is amazing that they agreed to do this. But we have Carolyn Custis James coming to speak on Saturday. And though you may never have heard her name, you may have really read her book and not realized it.
Okay.
She is the writer who inspired a lot of Sarah Bessie's writing. Mm. So if you read, you know, Jesus Feminist, you'll see in there 50 or 60 references to Carolyn Custis James's books. But I've met Carolyn, and I have spent time with her. She once, I lost my car in a parking lot, and she once had to drive me around to find it. She's so real. I love her. But, you know, when she agreed to do this, I knew that this was going to be an incredible conference. So she's speaking on Saturday night.
Okay.
She is the author of books like Half the Church and The Gospel of Ruth and Maelstrom. So you can check her out and see everything that she's done. And I've heard her speak, and she's an incredible speaker. Mm-hmm. So that's a keynote. Another keynote speaker is Tim Fall. Tim, if you're not following him on Twitter, you are missing out. He is a really interesting person because he is a judge in California. Okay. And we just love him, and we follow his social media presence, and he is... he's very snarky, and he, being a judge, we were so surprised because he's just such a real person.
Okay.
Because he's very funny, and he's very sarcastic when it comes to men in our society and men in church leadership really refusing to acknowledge the gifts of women. And mm-hmm. He plans to share a personal story about why this matters so much to him.
Mm, okay.
'Cause that was my main question. Mm-hmm. Why do men care?
Yeah.
You know, and his answer was so beautiful. So you have to come and hear it, because okay. I'm not going to give it away on the podcast. But he's speaking on Friday night at our evening session.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about if someone's not engaged in church work currently, male or female, what sort of value would they get out of this conference? Because I know it's bigger than church workers.
I think that this is the conference for you, okay. if that is where you're at.
Okay.
It is not churchy.
Okay.
In fact, we're planning on talking a lot about deconstruction and allowing people who have gone through this church hurt or church pain or feeling like they have no real stable ground in order to work and exercise, you know, the feeling, the callings that they have in their life to do things. They feel like nobody's listening or nobody hears, nobody cares. This is where you go and get validated for that and prayed for, that there is a future for you. So we will have worship sessions. If you're missing worship in your life right now because you've walked away from church because of something that happened or you just didn't feel like it was the right fit, you can come back and just sing and lift your voice to the Lord, because we have amazing worship leaders, including Sierra White, mm-hmm. who, this is her, she writes and she has a strong opinion, and she's co-director of Azo Rising and she created it. But her main love and passion is worshiping God, and mm-hmm. she has an incredible gift for it.
Okay.
So she'll be a huge part of that. And then there's also... the breakout sessions are really interesting because they are going to allow people to have an opportunity to share their story.
Okay.
If you have, you know, something that aches and that you've been dying to talk to somebody who really understands and cares, this might be a really good chance for you to unload that. The goal of this conference is that at the end of it, everybody participating would feel validated, strengthened, empowered, confident, courageous, and just feeling so much more whole in whatever God is leading and calling them to do inside or outside the church.
Okay. So I'm wondering, and this is probably a silly question, but people might be thinking about it right now, are men welcome? Is it going to be like all man-shaming sort of situation? Talk a little bit about that role.
Yes, not at all. We were very cautious to make sure that did not happen.
Okay.
And there are many men who are registered for this conference,
okay.
and they are men who know us well enough to know that that's not what we do.
Okay.
And so I'm hopeful that these men would walk in feeling like very valued as an ally,
mm-hmm. okay.
and very appreciated that that they are coming to learn and to participate and to figure out how to do what they long to do so much better than they have in the past, and to know that women long to come alongside them and work together, and that we don't want anybody to feel bad. Mm-hmm. This is not that kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, conviction. We've all made mistakes. We've all, you know, done things and said things that we're not hitting the mark. But, you know, we're not into dwelling on the bad. We're okay. into shedding light on the truth and mm-hmm. encouraging everybody to move forward and walk into that in such a way where it's just contagious, and other people around you want to walk with you in it and want to hear what you have to say because it's right. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of just things I wanted to make sure I mentioned.
Sure.
Some of the main topics that we'll be talking about is deconstructing from purity culture.
Mm, okay.
That's, I think the world is ready for that conversation.
Okay.
We've had a lot of, now that we're grown up, I'm 40 now, mm-hmm. and I grew up with the whole I kiss dating goodbye mentality, mm-hmm. and, you know, Joshua Harris's book, which now he... You know, is he recognizes the damage that did in so many people, that it was a nice idea and it was a well-meaning,
mm-hmm.
but we were really raised with a certain mindset, and the boys were raised with a mindset about how they should view girls that did not help them
mm-hmm.
in their lives, and it damaged their future relationships. And girls were raised with a certain idea about their body and their own, you know, the way that they viewed themselves and their, you know, their own personhood. And it messed a lot of people up,
right.
mixed us up, made us need therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It made us have a really difficult time in our marriages,
mm-hmm.
And trying to figure out how to bond with a spouse and trying to figure out how to relate to a spouse. We hardly knew ourselves. How could we, you know,
mm-hmm.
talk with somebody else about who we are and how to be happy together. So just sort of opening the doors for that
mm-hmm.
conversation and allowing that to happen. And Sherry Smith on our team is just, she's so amazing in how she shares it and what mm-hmm. she talks about. And that's her breakout session that she's going to lead with Megan Chance. Megan, she has a podcast called Faith and Feminism that has a huge following.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also deeply on her heart to bring this up. So they're going to kind of co-lead a discussion group and try to help anybody, men or women, to engage in a really meaningful conversation about that. We also want to talk and bring up race and intersectionality and
okay.
just how it all comes together. How are people of color feeling at this point, and what can be done to make sure that those voices are heard
mm-hmm.
and known and understood and valued and elevated as well. So we are not, it's not lost on us that there is, and this is another day for another podcast, but there's versions of a quote-unquote feminism that really include the voices of white women,
mm-hmm.
and that the voices of women of color or black women have been excluded or disregarded,
right.
and that is not okay. It's not okay, but it is sort of what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have our eyes on that and long to be a part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
So Sierra White, she intends to just walk straight into that topic and bring it up. And her story is extremely interesting, so I'm not going to give that away. But
mm-hmm.
She is biracial, and she... you know, was a foster kid, and she has an incredible story of just how she never really felt like she fit in anywhere
mm-hmm.
and what that meant to her, and how she still deals with it, and how she tries to live in this world as a fish out of water, but knows that God has actually called her to be extremely unique in her perspective
mm-hmm.
and to go ahead and voice it. Just because other people don't get it doesn't mean it's not valid.
Right.
So she has a wonderful session planned for that. And on Sunday morning is my part. So the venue for this event is at Christ the Cornerstone in Ellesmere. And that is my church. So this will be going until Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And Aza Rising is actually leading the church service that morning.
Aww.
So we'll head up the worship.
What time?
It is at 9:15 in
okay.
the morning at 6 North Clifton Ave,
okay.
which is just outside the borders of Ellesmere. It's by Kirkwood Highway on BJ's and Wendy's, whatever you're into, the VA hospital. It's all right there. But it's pretty centrally located. It is the big church with the steeple. And I am so excited that Azer Rising will be, you know, this thing that I'm passionate about is going to converge with my church, my home, my family. And I'm preaching. So yeah. I get to share my heart with both my congregation and the people who will be at the conference. Mm-hmm. And so the topic is on unity. Mm, it's okay. on unity and diversity. It's on the body of Christ working together beautifully in order to accomplish the goal of preaching the gospel to all nations and how we can be better at that. And the goal should, hopefully, if I do it well, mm-hmm. should be to light a fire under us, that each of us has a role to play and a part to play, and only that is between us and God. Mm-hmm. And then we need to do the work and figure out what that is and then step into it confident that we're in this together. Different opinions are going to come. Different viewpoints, different perspectives, different backgrounds. And the enemy wants to use those differences to mess us up and make us angry with each other or disconnect with each other. And that the enemy has been so successful at doing that mm-hmm. and making us avoid each other because of discomfort. And my goal for this conference is that we would unify in such a way where we would truly honor one another and care for one another in such a way where we do figure out how to put each other first. Mm-hmm. We do figure out how to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We do figure out how to let somebody else lead if they've got a vision and not feel threatened by it. Mm-hmm. And all these things that have been holding the church back, we hope to be a part of rewriting that narrative and allowing us to relook at this with new eyes and operate differently mm-hmm. within and outside the church.
So one of the ways that people might have encountered Azer Rising was recently y'all's Facebook page kind of got a lot of attention on a discussion about the Super Bowl halftime show. And y'all that are listening to the podcast may have come across Azer Rising because of that. There was a lot of engagement. So I am wondering if you could talk a little bit about kind of that experience of being like, all of a sudden the conversation is out there and how it relates to the work that's happening at the conference or y'all's theology sort of in general.
You know, Azer Rising is unique in that we're not your typical ministry. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to go out there and look churchy. Mm-hmm. We're a group of people that got together and we happen to care about a lot of the same things. And so two women on our team, Griselle Medina and Sierra White, are both they have Latin roots mm-hmm. and they are embracing those roots, and there's culture that comes, you know, with all of that. And so when our team saw that who was performing the halftime show, I immediately in the back of my mind, I said, this is going to be big. Mm-hmm. It's going to be big because if you were to Google, you know, both of these performers, you know, what they do for a living, if you look at their music videos, if you look at Vegas, if you know, mm-hmm. you know their style of dance. It's hip hop. It's very cultural, and it also has its own kind of flavor to it. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be your, you know, Mr. Rogers neighborhood type of thing. Right. So you know, the Super Bowl halftime show is always controversial. There's always a million opinions that go out about it, and so I was with. Right before the show started, I paused, I DVR'd, and I told my husband, they're going to say this is sexual, mm-hmm. and it's actually cultural. Mm. And while there may be some sexual elements to it because dance is involved, I mean, you can watch Dancing with the Stars, you can, you know, watch a music video, you can just see, you know, any kind of dance that happens and body movement in such a way and go, okay, this is part of the damage of purity culture that sexualizes every move somebody makes. Mm-hmm. And then that becomes all they see. Mm-hmm. And so I told my husband, I think I just wanted to just have this conversation with you beforehand
right.
and then re-look at it at the end.
Okay.
And as we watched the show, it was almost like when I spoke to him, he reframed this in mm-hmm. his mind. Mm-hmm. And he normally would have been, because of his own upbringing in conservative church, been like, well, I'm a little, you know, pink-cheeked about sitting with my wife watching things happen that look very sensual or sexual. The costumes, the, you know, the pole, you know, all these things. And then afterwards he said, oh, that was no big deal. And we mm-hmm. didn't really think about it again mm-hmm. until you start scrolling social media. Mm-hmm. And it was all of our conservative white friends from the past, people that we, you know, don't spend a lot of time with, that were absolutely railing that this was not family friendly. They mm-hmm. used words like disgusting. They used words like immoral. Mm-hmm. And I reached out immediately to Griselle and Sierra and said, how are you guys feeling about this? Mm-hmm. As opposed to what the gut reaction could have been, which is to rail back at them right. that they're prudes and mm-hmm. just get over it. This isn't supposed to be a church worship setting. This is a entertainment. And right. you could have, you, it's a good time to go to the bathroom or get a sandwich mm-hmm. If you're offended by people dancing
right.
In a way that might make you feel uncomfortable. And both Sierra and Griselle were so proud. They were so proud of the Puerto Rican flag being put out mm-hmm. there. They were touched by things like the fact that children in cages was put out there. This is actually happening in our country. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to not see it.
Right.
And that certain dance moves and certain cultural things came out of it where these women got to honor so many people. Mm-hmm. And while there were so many people in their homes with their arms crossed, just mad at the NFL, mad at the whole world because they couldn't sit with their, you know, 8-year-old and feel comfortable, mm-hmm. there was a whole group of Americans that related to this. And while they may have seen a couple things that went, they cringed a little mm-hmm. bit, for the most part, 98% of it was, that was their culture on display mm-hmm. in a beautiful celebration. Mm-hmm. But over here, so the idea came up, the controversy. We were at Asia Rising. Sherry Smith posted a sort of celebration of these two women coming together and having an opportunity to honor their culture, work together, mm-hmm. collaborate, and this was this beautiful thing. And we were astonished that 400 or 500 comments later, there was infighting and arguing and people using terrible language to describe women. Mm-hmm. I'll do it on your podcast, but you know what I'm talking about. Right. Just, I mean,
and women using it to describe each other. Like, it wasn't necessarily men coming in and being like, oh, she looked like a whatever, fill in the blank here. It was other women in, you know, using some of this really hurtful language and harmful language and this, like shaming of certain embodiments or dresses or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And it, to us, we realized that even our own community that we thought we knew was missing something huge, mm-hmm. you know, in this. And we're so willing to go ahead and empower white women to go be a pastor, but not empower, you know, Latina women to honor their culture through dance and right. through music. And this was not supposed to be a Christian event, and so we couldn't believe that people thought it should have been something that was in their comfort wheelhouse.
Right.
You know, this is a PG-13 event, and what has been since Madonna did it, you know,
yeah.
and Michael Jackson did it. It's, you know, yes, there's a lot of fireworks and display that happened, but the end result was that the Latin culture felt, from my assessment, overwhelmingly as though white culture viewed their culture as trashy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a breakdown. That is not empowerment. That is refusing to see. That's refusing to ask. So Asia Rising really followed up by a lot of conversations about white people, to mm-hmm. be honest.
Right.
And we had never really gone there before, so it was, you know, we knew. But in a sense, we were trying to have a conversation about what we've missed mm-hmm. when we decide that our discomfort with what somebody else does is all we see.
Right.
So, you know, we're centering ourselves in that conversation and deciding that we're more important than a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And I specifically wrote a post that meant a lot to me because it helped me to process all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And that as a society, we've always been, it's always been, since the very beginning, white-led.
Mm-hmm.
White influenced, and we're seeing the result of that is that there's a white prioritization of our feelings,
mm-hmm.
and that is not okay. And how can we change that? Well, we acknowledge it. We acknowledge that each one of us in ourselves has this this maybe little bit of, we always do, we always have, you know, something that we need to work out, some kind of bias, some kind of, none of us has it together.
Right.
But I think that when we're quick to try to point out somebody else's fault and flaw, we miss seeing our own, which is biblical. And so instead to turn it around and go, you know what, I think that, yes, there were some, there was a couple of moments in the halftime show that looked like it was women deliberately sexualizing themselves. But I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't care at mm-hmm. all. That is them entertaining in the way that they're used to,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't surprising to me that I give that a pass because I don't care at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to focus on the celebration that these two women finally had the opportunity to share, and that it was a victory. And anybody who doesn't like it and decides they want to completely and totally dismiss that victory,
mm-hmm.
they have a problem that they have to work out. And you would have been amazed by how many private messages we got from women who were working it out.
Mm-hmm.
And they started that conversation maybe being some of the most actively against this
mm-hmm.
to completely turning it around.
Mm, wow.
That is
That's
why
amazing.
We do what we do.
Yeah.
Because they were looking in a mirror. Somebody else was saying something similar to what they were saying, and suddenly they were like, "Oh, that doesn't look. It's not a good look."
Yeah,
you know, to say this about other people made in the image of Christ that are making decisions that maybe I wouldn't necessarily make,
mm-hmm.
but I don't need. I can still honor them.
Mm-hmm.
I can still honor their culture without giving a stamp of approval to everything that they do. And I can choose to shut my mouth and not decide to have a really strong opinion about the tiny area that I was.
Right.
You know, and give a little bit of space.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe give a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
And let them work it out and let them be who they are without feeling like they need to have every single white person's opinion about it on them.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's been really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an incredible journey to sort of watch how each one of us on our Azer Rising team is learning and growing. And at the same time as we're learning and growing, we're leading a charge that other people are also learning and growing. And we also make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go ahead and we publicly acknowledge them. This is a really unique ministry that is very much so for the people, with the people, at the people's level, striving to just share what we're understanding
mm-hmm.
in a way that communicates effectively. So the conference is a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And to have Sierra there, you know, talking about it is going to be, if anybody wants to have that conversation, you know, there is room for that here in the Saturday breakout sessions.
Okay.
So it's coming up. We're not afraid of controversy.
Okay.
You know, we're not afraid of talking about hard things. We're not afraid of saying, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that we can do it in such a way that promotes growth and mm-hmm. peace and knowledge and above all else, unity.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the really interesting things about y'all's page is you don't necessarily go right out and have those like conversations about privilege, but just being really mindful of that and bringing it out in the post and in the different things that y'all put on there, and acknowledging that even within the female perspective and the female story, and those who try to struggle to find their role in the church, not everyone's experience is different, and not everyone fits into those roles of, okay, well, if you're a church that you're in a church that accepts women's leadership, you know, what role do you actually have, and how do you check those boxes that kind of help you to think about what your privilege that you carry actually is, and how much have you internalized the "I'm oppressed and no one else is as oppressed as me, and look how poor me" sort of thing? Because some of that came out in the like conversations about the Super Bowl halftime show and everything like that. It was, well, I had to fight through all of these things, or that's just not right. That's not how I believe my faith. And it's their conversations about privilege more than anything, and how it's manifest in the church. And y'all talk about that in a way that feels safe and comfortable and acknowledges that not every experience is universal. So I do really appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely found that though, you know, our own coming out of, a lot of us kind of came out of complementarianism around the same time. It was almost like a movement, you
mm-hmm.
know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And so we're kind of, as we're coming out of it, we're going, I really truly believe this
mm-hmm.
and that past in which I didn't feel like I could, you know, feel heard or acknowledged or could walk into a calling of leadership, that's new. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a new feeling.
Right.
And I think that it's very easy to go ahead and go, well, I get it, mm-hmm. and I'm through it, and forget those that have been left in the dust, mm-hmm. which is people of color, specifically women of color.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're so happy to finally have a voice that we maybe need to shut up mm-hmm. a little bit and ask those hard questions and listen well and care. Mm-hmm. You know, care that maybe somebody else might still be in it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And there are so many people who are still in that struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Persons of color, people who are female identifying, that may be not female presenting. And it's a complicated sort of situation. And once you start going down that path, people of certain socioeconomic means may never get those opportunities to have those privileged conversations or even be part of the conversations on social media. So just, you know, we always think about how to make space for the voices that aren't in the room that need to be heard too, you know, and that's so hard because you don't necessarily know who's not there.
Well, and I think, you know, for me, the term that always comes up in my mind is wielding privilege,
mm-hmm.
meaning taking the privilege that I have because I'm white and then using it for the benefit of those who don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always do it well,
right.
But I'm definitely starting, my eyes are opening to where I've missed it.
Mm-hmm.
I recently wrote on Asia Rising a testimony. I had actually been to BJ's, which is, I could throw a rock and hit that place where I'm sitting right now. And there was a woman, a woman in front of me that was of Latin descent, Hispanic. She had a little daughter with her that looked 8 years old or maybe a little younger. Just they were loading up their groceries together, and there was a woman next to me in line,
mm-hmm.
that was Yugoslavian, and she leaned over to me and put her hand in front of her mouth as though to tell me a secret,
mm-hmm.
and she pointed at this mother-daughter in front of me and said, "They're leeches.
Mm-hmm.
They come to this country and they take.
Mm-hmm.
They take all of our money, they take our jobs, they take all..." And I think I left my body, actually.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe I was hearing this.
Right.
And she had this Yugoslavian accent, so mm-hmm. I thought, you know, she's got an immigration story for me.
Right.
And there was a part of me that thought, you know, what is advocacy really?
Right.
Is it shoving shame in this woman's face?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it trying to educate her,
mm-hmm.
By just asking key questions that make her think for herself?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you what to think. I'm going to tell you how to think. If I can.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to say, you know, oh, you know, I can tell that you, you know, emigrated. Can you tell me more about your life? And she started to tell me a little bit about her story, and I could see her continuing to look at this. And every time she looked at this woman and child, she got a look on her face of disgust.
Mm-hmm.
And I marveled, and I wish I would have said more, you know. But it deeply affected me because that day, the mother and daughter were looking, observing this conversation,
mm-hmm.
and it looked like I was involved.
Right.
It looked as though I was saying negative things about them, too. And I wondered how many, I went to my car and I cried because I wondered how many times this mother or this, heavens, you know, this little girl would have gone into an environment where they would have been treated like leeches,
mm-hmm.
you know, no matter how legally they were there, no matter how much of a right they had to be there. That somebody would look at them and make that assumption.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had anybody think that about me. I mm-hmm. don't know.
Right.
You know, but as much empathy as I can muster, I was really disturbed by it. And that day that I was at BJ's, I happened to be there because I was getting snacks for the Super Bowl.
No.
So it was the Super
Wow.
Bowl. And then I thought when I saw J-Lo and Shakira
mm-hmm.
get up there and do their thing, I thought about that mother and daughter,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, celebrate,
mm-hmm.
celebrate, you know, you are valued, and you are loved, and you are heard, and you are honored, and your culture is rich, and it is deep,
mm-hmm.
and it is beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and I hope I hate the fact that my face might have been the one that made them feel terrible
mm-hmm.
that day, not knowing what was going on, but
right.
I prayed that erased it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So our country has a lot of work to do, and we're really divided, and each one of us has our part, you know, to play and trying to help guide other people towards what's true. Mm-hmm. And there was a part of me that's like, you want to just yell and go, you're racist, you know, and just
pick a fight.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help. What I wish I would have said was, do you know them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know them personally?
Right.
Where are they from? You know, mm-hmm. and just try to help her to understand how little she knows.
Mm-hmm.
How little she knows. And at one point in the conversation with her, I did say, you know, something to the effect of, I'm so glad that you found your way to mm-hmm. freedom safely.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was the best I could do in the moment. Hindsight's 20/20. I just remember that day was huge for me. Mm-hmm. That changed me. And I think that each one of us has days in our lives, and it might be once a year, it might be once every 20 years, where a day changes us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just being a part of that positivity and somebody else's change,
mm-hmm.
being a part of it, I mean, that's really the key. Mm-hmm. I think being able to care enough about helping somebody else to see the truth, even when they're just blind.
Right.
You might be the one to help them take the blinders off themselves. We're not supposed to rip them off each other.
Mm-hmm.
That is not how free will works.
Mm-hmm.
But we might just be the ones to say, hey, do you see that? See what's going on? And maybe even have the honor of being there for them and not judging them
right.
for being ignorant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes that's the hardest struggle, is to see people who are spewing this hateful language
mm-hmm.
as children of God too, because they are, you know. But there is that whole family of God thing. I don't know about your family, but I have a twin brother, and I don't always like him. But I do know that there's that relationship of love, and mm-hmm. how can we think about that even when these people are just spewing these hateful things, of not just lashing out in hate or putting them in a place where they can't hear what they need to hear or experience what they need to experience.
It's tough. It's a tough balance of going, okay, when do you call something out
mm-hmm.
that's just not right?
Right.
And how do you call it out when it's not right in a way where people will actually listen? I think the key is to not make it about you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people don't listen well when they think you're personally offended by something.
Right.
Versus trying to figure out ways to communicate that show that you truly care about them.
Mm-hmm.
And that that kind of thing, when you show that you care about them, it invokes a care in them to understand what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because they see that this is rooted in love.
Mm-hmm. That you want to make sure that we hear about the conference, about AIDS Rising, about the work.
You know, I really, this conference is a first step for us in doing in real life ministry.
Okay.
We have a longing to step outside of social media influence and be a part of, because I think that's where the Holy Spirit comes most to life, is when you are actually interacting with people in person.
Mm.
And I believe that this conference could be the kind of thing that is a game changer for those who attend.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're kind of on the fence about it, just come.
Mm-hmm.
Just come. Anyways, I believe that, you know, the conversations that you will have with other people will be strengthening and empowering. It's an opportunity to worship the Lord in a non-typical churchy way. It's just authentic, it's raw, it's honest, it's real. We have opportunity to hear from incredible speakers that I can't believe we got. And there, yeah. I mean, this is like, we'll have conferences in the future, but mm-hmm. we would have different keynotes.
Right.
So this is your chance to meet them and mm-hmm. talk with them and have lunch with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and have that accessibility to the people who are so far ahead of us
mm-hmm.
with all of this. So, I mean, grab a friend, tell your church, tell your Bible studies, tell your pastors. We are, I don't love the word progressive, because I think sometimes that word is starting to get a little bit like, oh, okay, I know what that means.
Right.
We are forward thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We are planning the future, and we want to do it with the relationship between social media and also in real life relationship together. We think that will raise the biggest impact. So instead of, you know, sitting home behind a laptop, which is so comfortable,
mm-hmm.
And getting a little bit out of AIDS Rising, you come and you get filled up mm-hmm. with knowledge and truth, and you will feel just healthy
mm-hmm.
and so much stronger for all that God has for you in the future. So, I mean, I'm just I'm really hoping and praying that God leads the right people to come and enjoy this experience, because I do think it's what I so wish would have been there for me. Right. You know, I mean, I was chomping at the bit to do this because there was nothing out there for me so long ago. And for people who listen to this podcast locally, which is, I'm hoping a lot of people, I mean, I'm hoping that this is a lot of Wilmington. You love the city. Mm-hmm. You love, you know, all the goings on. This is an extremely unique opportunity. And so please, even if you can't come, even if that's, you know, busy weekend for you, go ahead and let other people know, because you never know who needs it so much. Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, that's it. I am so excited, just over the moon excited. I mean, there's going to be amazing food. It's going to be just all in all a really full conference with a ton of opportunities, and it's going to be fun. So I'm hoping that we get a local crowd, because I selfishly and personally want to make some new friends who have the same interests that I do. We are not, there's not a million of us out there, but I do think, and I do think that God sometimes allows people of particular mindsets to be a little bit isolated. I don't know how to say this in such a way, but a lot of people who are propelled towards leadership a lot of times don't often feel like they're surrounded by people who understand it. I don't know why that is, but I think that God does that because there's a refining process that comes with feeling like, I'm alone. I am alone in this, and now I have to go ahead and do something with that. That is the old prophets, you know, that is Moses. Everybody's alone, because I think that God wants people dependent on him. So if you're meant to lead, a lot of times you're going to feel isolated. And this is an opportunity for you to get off that island and get with your friends and talk about it and be with people who get it. And then you'll be so much more strengthened in order to go do all the things that God had, incredible, groundbreaking things that you were nervous to do before. Now you can. So that's, I mean, that's the hope and the prayer and the goal, and that's everything we intend to accomplish.
You know, just a couple little things.
So you got to register. You can register online.
Okay.
So it's, the link will be included in this podcast, but it's there's two ways, well, three ways. You register at theazerconference.org. You can find out all the information there about the speakers and get their bios and all that. Or you can go to the events page, and we have it on an Eventbrite registration, and you can go through our Facebook page at Azer Rising, or you can go to our website, which is azerrising.com, and the conference is a tab. So we hope that you go ahead and get in there and tell other people and invite your friends or your whole group, you know, circle of friends, and come do this thing together. If you're looking for something fun to do in the spring, I mean, this is it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Riverfront Church Broadcast. You can connect with us online at riverfrontwilmo.com or on Facebook. Just search for Riverfront Church in Wilmington, Delaware. May God meet you where you are and lead you where you are meant to go.